Their other schools begin, and the game then largely stops, because they have to continue to be taught. Dear friend Joseph, Magda said that children lose the memory of their parents. But I believe that they at least pick up their parents when they die. Joseph, yes, of course, but then they are perhaps no longer children, but have long since grown up. Furthermore, it is the case that here and there such a child is also allowed to visit their parents, if to recognize something meaningful in it. Report of the ascending spirit being Magda and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Next case. July 6, 1960, Maria's blessing of helpfulness. Insightful reunion with relatives in the world beyond. Greetings from the controlling spirit, Maria, greetings from God. My dears, I'm trying to tell you something about my spiritual experience and how I was received. I have to talk a little about my family, how I found myself with them. I had a sister, her name was Reese. My father was called Wenzel, my mother was called Maria, like me. Father and mother went over to the spiritual world first, then my sister followed, and I was the last to come. My father was a bootmaker. My mother, my sister and I had to help earn a living. Father didn't earn much, he loved entertainment and even more his alcohol. There was a lot of discord in the family. When father came home drunk in the evening, he would hit us and beat us up. We had no love for our father. Mother couldn't earn anything in the later years of her life. My sister and I had to support her, we remained unmarried. Father, as mentioned, was the first to go. We earned our bread with all kinds of work. We had to work in the fields and simply wherever we were needed, in the mills, in the fields, sometimes in the houses. That's how we earned something to support ourselves. Hard cash was very rare for us. As payment for our work, we were often allowed to take some bacon with us, sometimes flax or grain, sometimes fabrics, something was given to us, sometimes a rabbit or simply something that was available or left over. And we were happy to have something to eat. So we just had to work. My mother was a good woman. As she used to do, I also tried to look after the sick from time to time. Because that was the only thing you could do back then, you went where you were needed to earn something like that. There were many people who were much poorer than we were, and I sometimes gave them what little I had. I sometimes worked without pay at all, I was happy when I was allowed to eat there. My sister Issy, on the other hand, never worked without pay. She then went back and demanded my pay. She also often got into arguments with people. She often laughed at me and scolded me for working without pay. She was always curious about me, she always checked my pockets and my aprons and always wanted to know how much and what I had received. She always exercised control over me. I sometimes gave some of the food to other people. We had neighbors who were sick, and they were much poorer than us. I sometimes gave them something. My sister Issy, on the other hand, didn't want to hear about it, she said. The reward for what we have achieved belongs to us, and we have nothing to give to the others. They shouldn't be too lazy to work either. Rissy had many similarities with her father. We always had problems with father. His booze was the most important thing to him. He could sit in the pubs for hours, he coughed and smoked and cursed, and in the evenings he came home drunk. The work he did was very poor and of no quality, he was just a cobbler, shoe repairman. So we had a lot of worries with him and at the same time our shame. But I still tried to talk to him and make it clear to him that he had to change. When he was sober, he listened to me. When he was drunk, he would attack me in particular and beat me. He took advantage of the opportunity because he knew that I would go to prayer with him the next day. I just let him hit me. Sometimes I was blue and red. He never did anything to my sister Issy. He also always blamed me because Issy went to him and told him that I gave my meager wages to the poor and even worked without pay. That made my father angry. He was rarely in a good mood with me. But I found comfort in prayer. I prayed to God that he would be merciful to him and forgive him. Well, My father was the first to go into the other world, then my mother followed, then much later Izzy came, and then I came. We all met and greeted each other, but I didn't see my father, I must say. Mother was there, Rissy was there and many friends and acquaintances from the village and the surrounding area. They also came to greet me and they were happy and made a lot of noise and cheers. Of course I was astonished to wake up in this other world. My relatives and friends who already lived in this other world told me different things about it. Some said to me, you know, here you find everything the same as on Earth, only it is a little more refined. And we actually have to work too. If we had known what to expect, we would have enjoyed life more. Others said, no, if I had known that, I would have been a little different. So I had to realize, it was a confusion, some were of this opinion, and others had a different attitude. But I also saw that there were certain personalities there who were distinguished by their noble appearance. I thought to myself that these were the angels or certain royalty who now had to see to it that everything was in order. Of course, I still couldn't get a clear idea of all these things. I couldn't find an explanation for everything. Then these elegantly dressed people reprimanded the crowd that greeted me and said, well, it's good, you've expressed your joy. Now get back to work as quickly as possible. Then I was alone with my mother, my sister and these elegantly dressed people. Now I was told that I would be allowed to move into a house on a hill, my mother would be on the same level, while my sister would live in the valley. I saw that my sister was a little depressed. She immediately reproached me when she saw that I was allowed to live on the hill. I really had nothing to do but be amazed. She reproached me, you know, it's actually your fault that I'm not better off here. I didn't know what to do with these words. Then she was pushed away and mother gave me a gentle look, as if to say, what she says is not true. But I could immediately see the difference between my mother and my sister. Mother seemed happy, while the sister was dissatisfied. Now I asked, can't I visit you first? I would be interested to know where you live. I am a newcomer here and it would be interesting for me to see how you are and how you live. Then the companion to my right said, yes, you can. You can see where your sister lives and you can also find out what she does. Yes, do you have to work here? I asked immediately, because I thought that in heaven you were only allowed to pray, sing and play music. The fact that you should work surprised me a little. I had already received a hint about it when the others were sent to work, but I couldn't really understand it. I could see now that where I was standing, was definitely not the ultimate glory. It was quite pleasant, I was on a level, there were streets, gardens, simple and beautiful, and I saw animals. I saw small houses, large buildings, I saw various wells, all sorts of things. It really reminded me a lot of the earth. This confirms what the Danish sage Martinus, 1890-1981, writes in his book on this topic, The Road to Paradise, that one of the levels on the other side, is almost a mirror of the earth's current conditions. A comment. Now I was asked to look at my house first. Then they said to my sister, now go back to your work, when the time comes, we will come to see you. Good. Mother and some companions now led me to my new home. It was a beautiful, comfortable path, it led us upwards, and I had the feeling that the further up we climbed, the lighter and more colorful the surroundings would become. So we suddenly stood on a hill, and there was one house next to the other at certain intervals, like a colony. There were gardens in front of them. In front of one of these houses I was told, this is your house, you may enter it. My companion opened the door, and there came some strangers to meet us, welcomed me and said, this is now your house and your new home. You should feel very comfortable and happy with us. I answered, yes, I am happy, but I looked around a little startled. I was shown a room, I was to live there. Then I was led out of this room into a large room and was told, this is the common room. It was very neat and I found it very nice here. In contrast to the modest life I had lived and the modest surroundings I had, I found it very grand here. I did not dare to contradict, but I would have liked to say, Do I really have to live here? Something simpler would be fine for me. But then I quickly thought, yes, I am in heaven, and in heaven you are entitled to beautiful things, so I am trying to get used to beautiful things. Then I was told, the meetings take place in this common room. Your friends are here too, with whom you can talk. My mother, who was present at this explanation, smiled at me and said, it's all right, Maria, everything will be fine, I live very close by and my house is more or less the same as yours. I spend most of my time in the common room. Then we promised to visit each other and mother said goodbye. My companion said to me, you have friends here and they're looking after you now. The best thing for you now is probably to withdraw a little and rest. Actually, I didn't feel tired at all. First of all, I looked at my hands, my whole figure, as best I could. I didn't have a mirror. I had no idea whether I still had the same face as before or what I looked like. I was just surprised that I was wearing a similar dress to the one I wore on Earth. I felt my hair and I found that it was much fuller and much finer than it had been when I was alive. Everything I studied and how I observed myself was of course seen by others. Then they said to me, yes, of course, you would like to see what you look like, and they explained to me. People on Earth have mirrors, in the spiritual world there is also something in which you can see yourself. It would not be right if you were not allowed to see yourself. Because anyone who looks terrible should see what he looks like, and anyone who looks better should also be able to experience it, they should also see how their appearance is improving. It is human nature to grow older and lose beauty from year to year. In the spiritual realm it is the other way round. When you return home you look a little old, and over time you get younger and younger. So you have the possibility of getting a completely youthful and beautiful appearance. The initial, old appearance has nothing to do with what plays a role on Earth, because the spirit always remains young and fresh, but at first he is still enveloped by many mists, and his soul is darkened. When the people who have returned home have been purified or cleansed, then the spirit emerges from this mists, and youthfulness then appears. And the hair, which was so stubbly and so rough, is in the spiritual realm as fine as silk, depending on the feelings that lie in the soul, for the soul is the source, it provides the strength for this spiritual growth, for maturing, for appearance. Then I said, yes, I would like to see, I would like to know what I look like, or is it immodest of me to ask, is a mirror enough for me? No, they replied, but we do not have a mirror like the ones that people have, we have something else, something similar. Then someone brought me an object. It was a small flame that had been lit, and these friends here, who were gathered with me, all held their hands over the flame, and they said to me, come too, hold your hands very close to the flame, it is not burning. Yes, I did it, and then they all held their hands in front of my face, and I was to do the same. Then they said, here is the mirror, here you can see yourself. In your own hand you can see yourself. We also offer you our strength and our hands. Here you can see yourself too. And it was actually like that. I saw myself reflected in my own hands. I saw my face. I looked at myself and felt as if I had a mirror in my hand. Then I wanted to know, yes, how is that possible? Why do you need a flame? Can't I look into my hands from the very beginning and see myself in them? They answered me, yes, you know, at the beginning it is necessary to get this flame, because it is nothing other than a source of strength so that you can see yourself. We don't need it for ourselves, we can see ourselves in our hands without it, and they held their hands in front of their faces. Then they took the flame away again and left me. Before that, however, I had tried to look at myself again, but the mirror was gone. That is, I could no longer see myself. Of course I asked, is this only temporary, or do I have to call you every time I want to see myself? They answered me, you shouldn't be so vain and want to see yourself at every opportunity. The time will come when you are ready for it and you can see yourself at every opportunity. Of course, I didn't mean it like that, I just wanted to know whether I wouldn't be ashamed if I stood the next to the others. That was actually the reason why I wanted a mirror. Well, I felt that my face was similar to that of my life on Earth. I had similar features, but they were a little more refined. I no longer had the earthly body, no longer the flesh, but I had a face, my spiritual face and my spiritual body. I wore a dress, it was light brown in color, and as I stood, I also thought to myself, I've never had a dress like that, how is that possible? Then they explained this to me, and they, you know, it just came out of your life and the clothes you wore. You mostly wore black clothes. They don't wear black clothes here, so we've given you a lighter color now. It goes well with your hair color, and you look quite neat. Of course you won't always have to wear the same skirt. We hope that we can give you a new dress very soon. I was astonished by all this, because in my imagination it was just as I had seen it in the pictures where the angels were painted with the most beautiful, colorful dresses. I thought that you would always wear the same dress for all time and eternity. Now someone came and said that they would give me another dress. Yes, but I shouldn't worry about what clothes and shoes I should wear and how I looked, I should rest now. And so they accompanied me to my room. I saw a bed and realized that it was much more comfortable than my bed on Earth. I had only slept on leaves, on a leaf sack. I didn't know what this bed was made of. It was so fine, so soft, so beautiful. I felt like I was lying on a cloud. It was so comfortable. My companions had asked me and helped me to lie down. I didn't know what happened afterwards, so I slept, rested. I didn't know how long I had slept. Then they stood next to me again and said, "So, dear sister, you slept really well. Now we want to get to our work. I wanted to know if it was like with people on Earth, whether you always have to sleep, whether there is also day and night." They answered me, "Oh no, you sleep primarily when you are just coming over. You need rest, because the soul wants to collect itself a little, and it is good for the mind and soul if they get this rest. Afterwards you will have a rest period again, but it is not the sleep that you have enjoyed now, and we do not know the night that people on Earth have. But when we have worked hard, we also have our rest periods, and we can occupy ourselves with things as we like." Then I wanted to know where my father was. I had to think about him. Then they said to me, "Yes, your father was not even allowed to come to greet you. Your father is not doing so well." Naturally, I wanted to help him, and I asked these companions, "Who are you then? Are you angels of God, and what are you doing? Can you tell me?" They said, Yes, we are angels of God, and our task now is to first enlighten and guide you until you have settled in here. Then you can carry out your tasks independently." Yes, I was so happy. I had never imagined this other world like this. Now I had a house, a beautiful house. I no longer had to worry about my daily bread, my limbs no longer ached, and I had a wonderful feeling of bliss and freedom. I no longer had to go to work to earn bread for myself, for my sister or for my mother and for my father. But I had to work, and what kind of work? But for the time being, I was very interested in how my sister and father were doing. Then one of these accompanying angels said to me, "Yes, well, we'll make a detour to see your father. After all, he has the right to know that you are there too." And then he went with me. We walked through many villages, many fields, and the further we went, the more I had the impression that night was coming. It began to get darker and darker. I could imagine that my father was not well. But I wanted to know whether my prayer had not been answered, since I had prayed for him, and I asked my accompanying angel, "Well, did you not accept the prayer that I said?" He replied, "You know, I cannot possibly answer all of these questions now. You will be informed about it. You must be informed about everything that you have thought wrongly, acted wrongly, been taught wrongly in your life, and it will take us a very, very long time to discuss all of these individual things together. But we'll take our time, we'll go through one thing at a time and discuss it." So we suddenly found ourselves standing in front of my father. Before that, there had been a lot of noise, rumbling and commotion. My father was sitting in a small hut. It seemed to have completely fallen apart, but not as if it was going to collapse. He saw me and my angel companion, and he breathed a sigh of relief and came towards us. Yes, he hugged me and said, "Maria, you are here. I am glad that you are finally here, because I have been waiting for you so much. I prayed here in this hut that someone would come and bring you to me. You know, Rissy has never been to see me, and Mother doesn't want to know anything about me either, so I thought to myself, Maria is not ashamed of me, she will come to me. I knew it, and I thank God that he heard my prayer." Yes, I looked at my father. He looked very similar to how he did as a human, and the smell that came out of him was not pleasant. It reminded me all too much of those sad hours. Then he began to complain, "If only I didn't always see my bottle of liquor in front of me." Then I said, "What do you see?" "Yes, I always see the bottle in front of me and the glass next to it." "Yes, you don't have any alcohol here, Father." "Yes," he said, "I still have it in my soul. I can't get it out of my soul. I thirst for this drink, and I have become addicted to it at times." "Yes, I couldn't really understand that either and asked myself in silence, where is it here? Is this hell? Is it purgatory, or what is it?" I thought so, but I said nothing. But my companion saw my thoughts and said, "I'll explain to you later what you've just thought. Now let's try to give Father some advice." I couldn't give him any myself, because I hadn't yet been initiated into these laws and this life, and I asked my companion, "Do what you can. You know, my father was weak, he was already a good man, but alcohol did him such a bad turn. Please, can you do something for him?" He answered, "It's just like that with us, on Earth. You collect wealth and take it all over with you. You simply can't get rid of things, that's the law. Anyone who has gone through life with liquor simply keeps it in the other world. Anyone who has been full of bad and dark thoughts simply takes them with them, that's the law. And anyone who has had a good heart and a good hand also takes everything with them. The good heart is in his soul, the feelings unfold. He then experiences it, and the reward for his goodness is not lacking. Everything comes back to you, everything, everything pays off. Man lives as a worker in the world, he gathers his goods together and takes everything over, but he does not bring material goods with him, but his spiritual goods. And that is just how it is with your father. He has all his spiritual goods with him, and that is alcohol, because his soul is completely clouded by it." Then I asked, "Yes, can I help him?" "First of all, he must help himself. That is the law," said my companion, and he pointed this out to me. "Remember, it would not be in God's justice if one could just say a few prayers for someone who has lived badly and died in crime and the way to heaven would then be open for him. That does not happen. One pays off down to the last penny. God forgives a large part of his guilt, but everyone purifies himself." I felt sorry and turned my eyes pleadingly to my companion and said, "Oh, maybe there is an exception. Can't I help my father after all?" Then he said, "Yes, you can make this time a little easier for him if you agree to go to him now and then and pray with him, to comfort him, to take him away from his evil thoughts." Yes, I wanted to do that, if I could help my father. Then my companion said to my father, "Now, try to continue praying. You can if you want. Make a little effort, step out of your hut and wander around a bit, because you will meet many people and you can perhaps give them some comfort. Get out of your hut." My father was quite shocked to hear such words and then he said to me, "Maria, what do you think? Would it be a good thing if I went out?" And I replied, "Of course, Father, come." And I took him by the hand and led him out of the hut. It was quite dark, but still so bright that one could find the way. He could also find the way back to his miserable hut. Now that we were with him, the surroundings were illuminated. We were like lanterns, like lights to him. He saw it and said, "Yes, now it is easy, as long as you are here, but when you are gone, everything around me is dark." And my companion answered, "No, that is not true. If you want, if you just have a good thought, Then you will have so much life. I don't think you should always look one step ahead and always see where you are going, even if it is only a foot, but you will see this much. I saw that my father was making an effort. He wanted to be in better circumstances and he said, if only I could pray. I can't pray, I keep getting distracted, and I always see this bottle and I always have a longing for it. Yes, you must break yourself of that habit, he said. Then we suddenly had to say goodbye and my angel companion said, it is enough now, but we will visit you again. And my father asked, but at least send the mother too, and I would like to have Rosie. After all, Maria is not alone, I have mother here too, by which he meant his former wife. Yes, mother should come and Rosie. When we had said goodbye, I asked my companion, why don't my mother and sister come to him? He answered me, you will hear why they don't come. Then we left, and soon I didn't see my father anymore. I didn't know whether he stayed outside the hut or whether he would come to see her again. But I resolved to pray for him. I thought, if you have to work here, you will definitely get a wage, and then I will say, I don't need the wage, but give it to my father. I will work for him, and I will take on something, something unpleasant, something painful, so that my father will feel better. That's what I thought, that's what I wanted to do. Yes, what I was thinking, my companion always saw too, but he didn't comment on my thoughts. Then he said, well, before we return to your house, since we are already passing by the valley, let's go and see your sister. She lived in the valley, and I was interested in what sister was doing, and I asked, does she have a house too? Yes, she has a house too. Is it as beautiful as mine? And why does she live in the valley and not where mother and I live? Then he said, why should she live where you and your mother live? She doesn't belong there. Why not? You'll see why she doesn't belong there. We returned the same way, and it gradually got brighter and brighter until it was this pleasant light when we arrived in the valley. Then a path led us near a forest. There was a house there, and in front of the house I saw a large, huge pile of stones and a basket next to it. Then I asked, what are these stones doing here? What do we need stones for in heaven? We have things like that on earth. You will be taught about that too, he said, but now we want to go and see your sister in the house. She was with others, also in a common room. There was also a being who was in charge of the others and giving them instructions. My sister listened, and she still had the bitter look she had when we first met. When we entered, the explanations and the teaching stopped. There were, as I counted, about 20 beings here, half female and half male. Then my sister was asked to leave the room and accompany us. I quickly looked around to see what it looked like here. It looked completely different to my house. I would say the style of building was the same, but it was very modest, very modest. It reminded me, so to speak, of our life on earth. There were these simple pine and wood walls. It looked like that, so very, very modest. There was nothing colorful there, nothing at all. But there were chairs, there was a table, there was a blackboard on which people wrote and drew. Then she led us into her personal room. This too was built in the same style as mine, so to speak. But here everything was very primitive, very primitive. She was satisfied with it, because she had hardly seen anything else. Then my companion angel said to my sister, yes, of course it is not easy for you here, you have a hard job to do. She answered, turning to me, yes, I assume that my sister will help me and that she certainly won't have a more pleasant job. Then I looked questioningly at my companion and he answered her, you know, your sister lives near your mother. You know, your mother lives there on the hill, and your sister is near her too. Her work is not the same as yours. Yes, yes, she said somewhat mockingly, she knew how to approach people and flatter them in her life on earth. She knows how to do it here too. Well, said the angel, you are doing just the work that you have to do so that your soul can be purified. But it might be a good thing if you gave your sister an explanation, how you work. Perhaps she will agree to help you and then you will find relief. But she refused and said, "No, after all I can do my work myself, the others do it too." By this she meant those with whom she had been in the common room.